Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is an icy, snowy 17 degrees with heavy snow here in upstate New York. We woke up this morning to find ourselves buried under about 2 feet of snow, and it is still coming down for at least another day. Kids are off again. That will be 4 days in the last seven. So we'll see what happens. The atmospheric river has frozen over New York State. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Kids, Tech Addiction, Dopamine, Psychopaths, Implants, and the Matrix. And we've talked about this very same thing before. We've kind of come to the conclusion that our brain chemicals are being manipulated to get us to embrace this coming merging of man and technology. They are going out of their way to try to find newfangled ways to use 21st century cures and get them into us. And of course, this is to keep you safe. This is to keep you healthy. This is to keep Nana living forever. And you will pay for it too. This isn't going to be a freebie. But it's okay because we have new laws now. We've fast-tracked that pesky FDA. Pesky FDA was standing in the way of discoveries. And they now have allowed us to become lock, stock, and barrel sold to biopharma, biotech. If you are desperate and ill enough, and you got a few bucks, you know, you've been squirreling away all that money for your retirement, and you're not going to be able to retire now because, look, you have some new debilitating disease that seems to be out of the blue, become an epidemic. But we got some new cure for you. Step right up. Give us your $8,000. And we will be more than willing to help you out with your little aging problem. We ended the show yesterday talking about Peter Thiel, Youngblood. We've talked about that young blood parabiosis before. It's been around since at least the Middle Ages. I'm sure they've been doing that even longer in some sort of mad science lab before the Middle Ages. But parabiosis is the practice of taking the veins of, that's what they used to do. If you look at some of the old sketches out of, you know, 13th, 14th, 15th. I don't remember. It was Middle Ages sometime. Maybe 14th, 15th century. Out of the journals where they were learning, just first learning about anatomy. And they had stitched together the veins and the arteries. I don't know exactly what they did, but of mice, rats, old ones and young ones. Let the blood swap between them. And I don't know if they didn't know anything about blood typing, so might have had some issues there. But they discovered back then, even, that apparently younger blood seems to have regenerative effects on older organisms. Well, Peter Thiel, tech billionaire out of PayPal, had put some money where his mouth was. He put some money behind a startup or two and some research to see if this is really real. And there is a brand new startup now called Ambrosia. I don't know if this is the one that Thiel put his money in. We can look at it later. But I know he was putting his money in because we've covered that story many times. But this new Ambrosia, and it's convenient that now there is a startup that's doing blood transfusion. So I'm assuming that this is the same one. We'll look it up, though. Ambrosia, questionable young blood transfusions offered in the U.S. as an anti-aging remedy. Now, we have been groomed, directed, psyoped to believe that all these new technologies are just moving progress forward. You know, and if you're not down with this, you're a Luddite there. You don't deserve to be living in this wondrous world of the 21st century where anything is possible now. That's what they're telling us. We can wave a magic wand and be like gods. That's really the way the world has become. They have gained mastery over a large amount of nature. And now they are going for the end game. And that's what this is all about. Once they start getting these little cancer-fighting, quote-unquote, cancer-fighting nanobots into your blood, they'll be able to do other things in there as well. Target cells. You know, again, it's all going to be in the name of curing you. But along with curing you comes experimenting on you. You know, just like the days where we discovered that the biological and chemical warfare programs were supposedly, quote-unquote, ended because Nixon inked, ratified that agreement in 1972 that they had talked about a few years before, but they finally all signed on in 1972 to end the biological and chemical warfare program. But Nixon kept a little loophole open, and that little loophole was to be able to do research and develop products all in the name of being defensive postures, to be able to protect ourselves in case we ever got quote-unquote attacked. Well, now they're using that same sort of mentality. We're being attacked now by all these diseases. We're being attacked by aging. We potentially could be attacked by every self-radicalized internet jihadi teenager under every bed and in every closet. And so we better make sure we know how to lock down our genomes, since that CRISPR has been democratized and it is now considered a WMD by the head of the Armed Services Committee. You know, they're taking these technologies and they're using the discovery phase. They're using this ability to do research as an opportunity to weaponize these technologies. And you might think, well, Jewel, how is anti-aging technology a weapon? Well, remember, if they figure out how to make us young again, what goes along with that is figuring out how to take away being young. I mean, imagine if they could isolate a protein or something out of this young blood that's making old creatures young again. And they can do the vice versa as well. They discover when they put the old blood into the young creatures, it made the young creatures get old again. What if they could isolate that protein or that substance or whatever it is, and then somehow find a delivery route, whether it be intranasally or orally? Maybe you could eat it. Or maybe with a little patch, or maybe, I don't know, infect insects with it and then set the insects loose. They could utilize the technology. They could do something like that for good as well as bad. And we've discovered that with every single bit of this. You know, my one friend has a really hard time believing that I have issues with every one of these technologies, but I'm going to tell you why. Because if we lived in a world that was a perfect place, if we lived in this absolute utopia where all these people who are running the show were concerned about my happiness, my kids' happiness, your happiness, your dog's happiness, Nana's happiness, whether or not the birds can sing and flit and fly without being poisoned by toxic chemicals. I mean, the very fact of the matter is, nobody in the upper levels who own the strings to these technologies are really caring too much about you or me. We are just necessary wasses in the name of the greater good, according to them. I mean, they're trying to create this 21st century world, this perfected world in their vision. I mean, we didn't get to vote on it. I don't know about you, but I'm not for brain implants. I am really not for being modified or enhanced. And you see, again, it's all about semantics. Yes, we can modify you, or let's spin this a little bit easier to get Johnny and Nana all behind it. We're going to enhance you, humans. And that's where we're going to start the story today. This young blood transfusion, $8,000 for a treatment. Just off a winding highway along the Pacific Coast in Monterey, California, is a private clinic where people can pay $8,000 to have their veins pumped with the blood plasma from teenagers and young adults. Now, again, this is something that worries me as well. Are we going to have teenagers now out selling their blood to old people who want to get young again? And, you know, again, when we've talked about this technology, this parabiosis before, there have been all kinds of stories over the years about, you know, the royals and whatever, sucking baby's blood. You know, I always laughed at that stuff, but I'm not laughing anymore. You know, when I first read about Peter Thiel and this young blood thing, I was horrified. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is really, there's science to this. I mean, this is like one of those dark arts that they've been experimenting with for hundreds of years. Now we're going to make it okay. Now we're going to make all these technologies that, to me, to be completely honest, are quote-unquote unnatural. And I mean, I don't know, anyone who knows me personally knows Joel is a lot from a naturalist. And I'm very far from being a saint, okay? My little halo broke a long time ago. But I'll tell you one thing. After having a child, after creating life yourself, your view of things really kind of does a 180. You start to look at the world a lot differently. You get that mama bear instinct that you can't really help, nor can you control. And when something is threatening your offspring, for real or even perceived, there are some chemicals that go off in your brain, and there are some like attacky little things that go off in your brain that you're going to do whatever it takes to protect that child. Now, with the monumental threats that we are under right now, I mean, I'm overwhelmed. And the best that I can do at this moment is just to learn. Decode and learn. Figure out what they are doing and what that means. And guess what, Johnny? Because America is dumber than a goldfish, most people out there can't even comprehend one drop in the bucket of what they are doing right now. Good thing that we've all been researching this. I'm glad you guys have gone down this yellow brick road with me. Because I'll tell you what, you guys out there, I got to say too, high five to Camille. That was an awesome, awesome message yesterday. You know, you guys, we have the chatters and we have the people that message me on YouTube, on the videos, on Facebook. And you guys are the ones who keep me going at this. You know, if I was just doing this all by myself, and I just have my friends and family around me that most of the time go, Jewel, will you stop with this stuff? You can't control it. That's what they used to tell me. Don't worry about it. Why do you make yourself sick over the stuff? You can't control this. So just go with it. That's what they're hoping we're going to do. And eventually, You know, it's like the struggling fish who's stuck in the net. Eventually, you're probably going to get tired. But thank goodness, because I got Mama Bear juice. And Mama Bear juice is keeping me from stopping the struggle. And guys, if we all research this together, I'm telling you, even if the majority of the people will never understand the whole breadth and depth of what is occurring right now and how these lunatics have declared themselves on the level of gods. And they're trying to give themselves a capital G. These people don't even deserve a little G. It's in gods, you know. I don't know, English degree, small G's. Those were just gods. Big G's, those were the big boys. But they've declared themselves gods. To be able to have dominion over life and death. To be able to create life. To modify life. To end life. All at the push of a button. We are about there. Well, I don't know about you. You don't have to be a religious crazy screaming about the end of the world, standing on a street corner with a Bible or whatever your book of choice is, saying the end is nigh, to see that the end is nigh, people. There's some really bad, bad stuff going on, and it's all being packaged with a pretty red poison bow, my pretty. Here, eat the apple. How interesting, by the way, that the Bible, the story of Adam and Eve, had the poison apple. We have these genetically modified poison apples now. We have poison apples everywhere. Just take a bite. Take a bite. You're going to die if you don't take a bite. You're going to be hungry if you don't take a bite. They don't tell you it's been infected with whatever crazy shit they put in there to get inside of you and to start flipping switches, i.e. edible vaccines. We already did those. Potatoes, tomatoes, rice, lettuce. I mean, this is every prong has come out to attack us. And now they are trying to tackle the very essence of life. Blood, cellular functions in the brain. Every day that goes by, I come across another story that just blows my mind as to something they've discovered. And like I said, if these guys were benevolent, it would be a totally different story. But humanity has not earned its ability to be holding such power in the palms of their hands and exercising their vision across all of humanity. Like I said, my halo broke a really long time ago. I was not raised being any type of religious anything. My mother was abused by nuns as a child, so she always kind of had a little problem with that when she realized how the church really kind of tried to stuff stuff down her throat and make her believe things and not ask any questions. Don't look behind that doorway or in that backyard in the corner, very deep. So I wasn't raised being forced to go to church. I was given my own choice. And I was encouraged to learn. And I was encouraged not to believe things because somebody told me something. That's exactly why. My mother realized in the 70s, as she was a burgeoning little hippie, suffragette back in those days, that you did much better thinking for yourself and figuring out things for yourself. And she encouraged me to research, 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 and figure it out for myself. So I spent the next 5 or 6 years getting my English degree, digging into creation myths and religions from around the world. And if I had continued on in my PhD, I was going to get my PhD in archaeology, comparative religions. Then I wanted to become a female Indiana Jones. That never quite happened, but it's okay. I'd probably still be out digging if that did happen, but I'd be in some dangerous places now. And I probably would have ended up, I don't know, buried somewhere in a temple. So that's all right. But, you know, that really has sent me down a path of knowledge that for many years I got out of college and I'm like, okay, I got my degree and all this crazy stuff that has nothing to do with anything really in the real world. What do I do? Well, I don't know. I was always good at computers. I had one when I was a child and that's how I got into it. It's just nobody knew anything about networking in 1991 when I got out of college and the place I got my very first job decided they were going to install their first network and didn't have a network administrator, didn't know even how to make these things print on printers. And so I started helping out the mainframe people. I started helping them out because no one even knew what a mouse was on a desktop. And from there, it just grew. And it was a very large organization. I just sort of fell into that job, started as a temp job, and then they really liked me because they worked hard and I asked lots of questions. And then it turned into a permanent job. And I was working in a bank in an operations center. We had the big collateral vault and everything was there. And then we started merging with all these huge banks. We were sucking up ones that had gone under and we're bringing files from everywhere. So that's where I first started learning all about databasing, working with programmers, Jason. There was this programmer from New York City. I mean, this was in 1991. In New York City, I worked remotely too, even back then. And yeah, I helped him as he built the database. I was the hands on the ground in the vault. And we started beta testing this thing. It was huge. And guys, I just went from there. And so my entire career in computers and application development and web networking, engineering, it all started right there. My education was not there, but there was no education. It was called get an education as an electrical engineer and then kind of backpedal and figure out networking. How did I even get there? Oh, back to the religious crazy stuff. So I spent a lot of my education finding religion very interesting. But see, before I even went there, I really dug deep into psychology. I took a lot of psychology classes, a lot of geography classes, a lot of archaeology classes. And I really, really, really wanted to understand the human condition and what made us tick and why we did things. And if I was going to do my master's, I decided that I might do my thesis on something about how religion, a belief system that was supposed to be about the goodness of things, caused more bloodshed throughout all of history of man. We had the Crusades and all those horrifying things that happened, killing, maiming, murdering, all in the name of belief. And it really disturbed me that something such as religion that was supposed to be a moral framework of some kind, if you really look at the psychology behind religion, it really helped society become society. It was the very first rule of law that, hey, even if you weren't afraid of the stockade there, Johnny, even if you weren't afraid of being burned at the stake, there was eternal damnation. I mean, it was a control structure. So it really interested me in how this boogeyman in the sky wagging his finger at you, telling you to be good, shaped so much of our past. So now let's fast forward, I don't know, a couple thousand years to get to where we are today. We're at the point of creating life from synthetic means. We read about them now talking about using some of those pluripotent stem cells. They just scrape a little skin, put them in a petri dish, mix them up, a few little chemicals. And they can make these stem cells that are even better than the embryonic stem cells, because we have read that those embryonic sometimes can get out of control. They don't really know where the off switch is, and they could become cancerous. But these pluripotent, they could turn them on and off. They know how to control them, and they can cause them to grow by flipping the right little switches into any cells for each organ or body area. And they're made out of yours. So they talked about doing that with bringing back those brain dead patients. They were going to take some of these pluripotent stem cells from each of the patients, put them in a petri dish, inject them into their brains to see if they could bring them back from being brain dead. They were going to take like 11, I think it was 11 or was it 20? Maybe it was 20 of them from the United States and fly them over to India. Because remember, it's one of our mad science labs offshore. India has allowed them, multinational corporations, to go over there and do all kinds of mad science. One would be the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Some of those HPV vaccines. Whoops. Here, put a big X right here. I know you don't know how to read 120 pages of the terms and conditions and what you're signing up for in this clinical trial, but that's okay. Put a big X. It's going to be to keep your children safe. And see, a lot of these Indian families didn't know any better, and they inked that document without really understanding what they were agreeing to. A lot of those girls got sick, passed out, ended up very ill, bled to death. There were all these horrible things that happened. Bill Melinda Gates Foundation continued with their vaccinations. And I just saw recently now India has kicked them out. There was a big ass lawsuit after the fact. And that was part of that lawsuit that they did not have proper consent because those people didn't understand the dangers of what they were getting into with experimental vaccines that really hadn't been tested. And guys, this is what this entire medical establishment is about to turn into, by the way. Is you're becoming the guinea pig. They don't have to prove now that it's effective or safe before it hits a clinical trial. That's what this 21st Century Cures Act was all about. It got rid of any of the last barriers that really weren't even barriers to keeping you safe. So now we have things such as blood transfusions to keep you young, nanobots in your blood to cure your cancer, brain implants to cure Nana's Alzheimer's. And people have been groomed through our culture, through our devices, through getting addicted to our devices by them pushing that dopamine button to now want to fully accept this, embrace it, say this is progress moving forward. This is where we should go. And as they're whispering to us, whisper, 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 that this is the next evolution of man. And we have people like Ray Kurzweil telling us that this is evolution. You know, we have gotten to the point where our technology is creating technology. We've talked about this so many times. Exponential technology is moving faster and faster. I don't know. We read some crazy thing yesterday about these quantum computers. IBM is now creating a quantum computer, and IBM is creating a shape-shifting immune system just like DARPA was working on. I saw something while I was closing tabs yesterday that IBM shape-shifting immune system is being worked on by Watson. And we have things such as Dr. Watson. Dr. Watson is moving into every field, including oncology. But he's also going to be a lawyer. He's also going to be a barista. And he's also going to be running different official offices. I mean, there is no telling where Watson might go next. I have postulated that we might be seeing Watson running for president in this next election. And you know, I actually wouldn't doubt it that they're not going to use this whole election process that just happened to convince us that human emotion is fallible and that we all voted on our emotions, and that's how this disaster happened. And maybe we need somebody who is a little less emotional, who can make better decisions than us puny humans. But I digress. All right, I have tons of stuff, so let's read just a little bit of this young blood story, because we've covered this a few times. This is just a brand new story on it. And then I want to continue, because I found some really disturbing things yesterday to add to this little progression. So, questionable young blood transfusions offered in U.S. is an anti-aging remedy. Now, remember, Peter Thiel, who's invested in this technology, and he's got a venture capitalist arm or two that dumps money into these new 21st century cure-esque type companies. Peter Thiel has also been a quote-unquote advisor to Trump. I saw something not too long ago where Peter Thiel was whispering in Trump's ear, and he was a Trump supporter as a liberal, I believe. I think he was a liberal. Maybe he was a far-right tech guy. Most of the technical leaders are more lefty. But regardless, he was a big deal that he was supporting Trump, because he was definitely not with the rest of the gang. He is one of the co-founders of PayPal. Good old Elon Musk is one of the others. And I said before, I've read some stuff. I don't think Musk and Thiel get along too well anymore. But remember, Musk is also in the sphere of influence for the White House. Musk has remained on one of those technical panels that a lot of the other big boys decided they didn't want to play because they don't like this new administration. Wink. Musk, though, he's a smarty pants, remember? And so he decided it'd be better to try to influence from the outside rather than be an outsider, to be sitting out there wagging his finger. So Musk is in there. Thiel is in there. I don't know if Thiel's on that board, but Thiel at least has Trump's ear. And they are investing in all of these new crazy technologies. Now, you have Thiel, who apparently seems to be forwarding this transhumanist agenda. And I'm going to tell you why. I found this other company yesterday. It was in an advertisement on an article I was reading. And, you know, they target everything to you now. So I was reading something about mad science gone mad. So I get mad science gone mad ads on my page. And I saw this company. And I promise. I know I've been yapping for a while. But I'm going to get here. And I read this. And I was just shocked. I mean, we are talking like 3D printing, laser, mRNA, custom, anything you want in a lab. You don't even have to be a mad scientist anymore. Just tell us what you want. We'll make it for you. And we'll ship it out today. You buy it right online. Blink. And I'm serious about this. And why be held back by your ability to do something in a lab and not have the expertise? Well, now you can just tell us what you want. We'll make it for you. We'll ship it to you worldwide. 2-day shipping, and you could use it to make whatever you want, because CRISPR has been democratized. Well, I looked at the investors, and there was one investor, very first one. I just happened to plug it into Google, see who it was, and imagine my surprise, because I had no idea, actually. Imagine my surprise as the wiki comes up, and it says the first owner of this company is, Peter Thiel. I should have known it. All right, so let's back up. So one of his other investments is, yes, this young blood ambrosia. And here, we're going to do this right now, because I keep saying this, and I'm not sure if this is the same company, but Thiel, I spell it I-E-L, Ambrosia, young blood. Peter Thiel is very, very interested in young blood. Yeah, they, I think they mentioned ambrosia in here. More than anything, Peter Thiel, a billionaire technology investor and a Donald Trump supporter, wants to find a way to escape death. He has channeled millions of dollars into startups working on anti-aging medicine, spends considerable time and money researching therapies for his own personal use, and believes society ought to open its mind and its arms to life extension methods that sound weird or unsavory. And guys, this is all these tech billionaires. They are the ones who are steering the ship now. They are the ones that are pushing transhumanism, whether you know it or not. And it's all going to be in the name of living longer and staying healthier, curing your cancer. But that isn't the end goal. It is about bagging, tagging, and controlling everything. We've outlined all the different ways that they could possibly do this, and we've outlined all these technologies that are moving so quickly forward that'll be able to do these things. Speaking of unsavory and weird, if there is one thing that really excites Peter Thiel, it's the prospect of having younger people's blood transfused into his own veins. The practice is known as parabiosis, and according to Thiel, it is a potential biological fountain of youth, something that every narcissist, every self-centered human who wants to live forever and be power-hungry has been searching for. It is the closest thing science has discovered to an anti-aging panacea. Now, we already discovered that this is incorrect because all these stories have said, oh, yeah, research into parabiosis began in the 50s. But, guys, we were able to find that it went way back to the Middle Ages. The wizards probably were experimenting with this on how to keep the king young. Research into parabiosis began, well, they say, in the 1950s with cute experiments that involved cutting rats open and stitching their circulatory systems together. Now, we discovered yesterday they are working on 3D printing. Full vasculature networks to be transplanted. That's how far we've come. I mean, it is beyond frightening. It's something that I couldn't even imagine even 10 years ago, printing entire vasculature networks with a 3D printer. But they're doing it now. They're creating synthetic blood, and they're taking old blood, removing it, and putting in young blood. After decades of languishing on the fringes, parabiosis has recently started to get attention from mainstream researchers with multiple clinical trials underway in humans in the U.S. and even more advanced studies in other countries such as Korea, another one of our offshore mad science labs, as well as China. And remember, China is one of those countries that we have this unspoken technology war going on with. And we're not just talking weapons and bombs and EMPs. Oh, no. Oh, my. No, no. We are talking CRISPRing humans, cloning millions of cows. But remember, the guy who built that factory said, but it also could be tooled for humans. And trying to come up with weapons that no one's even dreamed of. Weapons of horror. He'll tell you entomological warfare. Something that scares me very much. We've dug into the history of that. And there was a long, long history of that. They are messing around with genetically modifying bugs again. We read about that Insect Allies program from DARPA. Yeah, of course, it's all in the name to keep us safe, to keep our crops safe. But I started having some horrifying thoughts the other day. You know, here on the East Coast, we're having this invasion, they called it. This invasion. Something called a stink bug. I hadn't seen a stink bug before a year or two ago. I didn't know what it was. Now, every time it gets warm here, this last few months, because we've had a weird, it was the warmest February here ever, they said on the news yesterday, as we're buried under feet of snow and 17 degrees right now. But every time it warms up, we've been seeing these stink bugs. They start inside the house. I'm like, what the hell are these things? Where'd they come from? And I thought, well, maybe they must have gotten under the siding at the end of the season. And I mean, it's not a lot, 2, 3, 4 at a time. But you find them in the bathroom, find them in the living room next to the window. I was like, oh no, you better put some diatomaceous earth down on the sill plate in the crawl space. But I started researching these stink bugs, and it appears that there is an epidemic up the East Coast right now. And I read history on these stink bugs. Apparently, a few years ago, they, and it says, they accidentally got released in Pennsylvania. Now, Pennsylvania, Penn U is doing a lot of psycho research there. But they also have international ports, probably down in Philly. And these stink bugs came from Asia. They can't kill them. I mean, you'd have to use tons of pesticide, and that's not a good idea because they're so widespread. And they are invading everyone's homes. They are mass consumers of crops. They release the spray when you scare them that smells like skunk. And I thought to myself, what a horrifying thought that is. They came from Asia. What if the Chinese, and just had a little thought here, I'm just tossing this out here. This is my late at night conspiracy tinfoil hat. But, it's come to the point now, anything you think of is absolutely possible. There is no conspiracy anymore. There is no theory anymore. If the scientists want to do it, they'll figure it out. Remember, cheaper, faster, bigger, better. It doesn't matter anymore. We have the cloud. We can do anything. Our computers are very, very smart now. We got AI, and I don't care how many of you go out there and say, but AI really isn't AI, it's just algorithms. Well, Watson is a cognitive computer, and they are designing brains out of computers. They are using technology that they have learned, processes that they have learned from these deep brain projects, brain initiatives, to actually recreate the way the brain works, and all the big boys are in on it. I would not say that these things can't think now, that these thinking machines aren't able to do things that we weren't able to do. But I just thought to myself, hey, China's so far ahead of us already, and we've read story after story because they don't have any of the quote unquote ethical laws that we do. China's just anything goes, man. Woo! If it's going to protect us, if we're going to be able to dominate in the world, we're going to set up a secret weapon. Well, let's just for a moment put on our disbelief hat. Let's say we took something like, oh, I don't know, a stink bug. And we genetically modified it a little. I don't know, infected it with some genetically modified bacteria or something. Oh, just kind of like that Insect Allies program that DARPA was talking about. Except maybe we modified these stink bugs so their little stink poison actually becomes some sort of poison or pathogen. Whether it would be detrimental to crops or it would be detrimental to whatever creature happened to scare it and it went psst and it sprayed them. It could be like little chemical biological weapons just running, and we could let millions of them go. We could fill a shipping crate with cheap things that nobody needs. Ship them over to the US, wink. One into each port. I don't know. And it only has to be one crate out of 1,000. When they open that crate, all these little buggies run out. And they just fly, be free, little buggy. Except these little buggies. And I mean, they can, we've already seen that they can create insects. When they were doing, again, mad science research that some of it was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with Oxitec and those mosquitoes, they were messing around with infecting those mosquitoes. And there were a couple different ways that they were looking at doing birth control in mosquitoes to control Zika and malaria and all these other things. But I don't remember the name of the bacteria, but you'll find it. If you find birth control mosquito, you'll find it. It wasn't CRISPRing them. It was actually infecting them. And it's right on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. They were infecting these mosquitoes with this bacteria that they actually then infected any mosquitoes that they mated with this bacteria. And it literally made them incompatible, or it would kill the incompatible mosquito. Who's to say that they couldn't do that with with another type of insect now that they've cracked some of these codes, some of the genome, where they would be able to release an insect that could go mate with other stink bugs, you know, the non-genetically modified versions, and create offspring that had this new genetic modification that would give them little poison spray or bacterial infections that they could then spread to plants when they ate them. Oh, but that sounds crazy, Jewel. Well, wait, DARPA's already working on the Insect Allies that does pretty much that. Guys, I'm just saying, you know, we're thinking about bombs. We're thinking about nukes. We're thinking about, oh, armies, ground troops. Well, I don't think it's going to be men. I think it's going to be insects. We read about those mice or rats. They could just shine a little laser on them, and it turns them into predators where their jaws start chomping and they try to kill things. Little mousies, killer little mousies. Now think about this. We already have diseases such as Lyme or rabies or plague, hantavirus. Things that could be spread by ticks or fleas that ride on mice that are all over in the woods. And if we could then manipulate and control those little brains and turn all the rodents into armies of killer rodents. Just think about the capabilities. They would have command over man and creature. And that's the plan. That's the plan, people. And there will be nowhere to run. So I don't know how I got off on this, but it's horrifying. These are the types of things I think about in my free time. The more of these dots I connect, the more of the science I read about, the more of the capabilities that they're developing every day with all their newfound power, brain power, big pulsating brains in the sky server cloud server rooms. Every day, the capabilities are going to increase. And remember, we are only in the beginnings of this technology. So anyway, considering the science fiction promises of parabiosis, so let's go back to swapping out blood between young and old creatures. The studies have received notably little fanfare, but Peter Thiel has been watching these closely. So Peter Thiel and Ambrosia, Monterey, California, a company called Ambrosia has commenced one of the human clinical trials titled Young Donor Plasma Transfusions and Age-Related Biomarkers. It is a simple protocol. Healthy participants age 35 and older get a transfusion of blood plasma from donors of under the age of 25, and researchers monitor their blood over the next 2 years for molecular indicators of health and aging. The study is patient-funded. Remember, you better cash in your 401k there, Nana, if you want to be young again. But we can help you, wink. Step right up and be 1.0. The patient-funded participants range in age from their late 30s through their 80s, and they must pay $8,000 to take part. They must also live in or travel to Monterey for treatments and for follow-up assessments. Ambrosia's founder, Stanford-trained physician Jesse Karzman, has been studying aging for more than a decade, and he became interested in launching a company around parabiosis after seeing impressive data from animals and studies conducted abroad in humans. They don't talk about what studies. And in one trial after another, subjects experience a reversal of aging symptoms across every major organ system. And while the mechanisms at play are not totally understood, he said, young organisms' blood not only contains all sorts of proteins that improve cell function, but somehow it also prompts the recipient's body to increase its production of these proteins. Quote, the effects seem to be almost permanent, he says. It is almost like there is a resetting of the body's gene expression. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you what. I posted a story the other day on my Daily Dose of WTF Facebook page, and that is a carryover from that show we used to do years ago called WTF. But I still maintain it because most of the news I come across every day is WTF. But I posted a story the other day of the Queen of England deciding that she's going to go out for a horseback ride in the pastures at 90. Now, I don't know about you, and I think I mentioned this back a few days ago when I first saw the story, but I don't know many 90-year-olds who would even consider getting on a horse because, oops, the horsey bucks because he sees a bunny or something. And you're going to get flipped off that horse and you're going to break a hip. And then I'm sorry, Queenie Bee, at 90 years old, I don't care how many organic gardens you have. It's going to be very difficult for you to bounce back from that broken hip. So most 90-year-olds, even if they want to go riding a horse, is not going to go riding a horse. And though she had somebody riding on another horse with her, she did not have any type of restraints or anyone sitting on the horse with her holding her to make sure she didn't fall off. Like, I was flabbergasted at what I was seeing, a 90-year-old on a horse. And it makes you wonder, how is this woman not even bony or anything? I mean, most 90-year-olds are pretty fragile and pretty bony and have lost a lot of muscle mass because they're not very active. And I mean, I've seen a few. Oh, that exercise guy back when we were kids, Jack LaLanne, he was in pretty damn good shape for being an old dude. But most people aren't there, and I don't see the queen being out there doing jumping jacks. She doesn't quite seem like the type. So it just makes you wonder how she seems to have this. And, you know, I'm not starting any conspiracy theories out there. But I'm just saying, you know, that's one of those topics I've always warned you about, that if you read something and it really makes that Spock eyebrow go up, you go, huh? It's worth looking into because it means that something is not quite right. Well, anyway, with this company, Ambrosia, while Ambrosia advertised the study to attract participants, it did not seek broader coverage. And so Karsmazian was somewhat surprised to get a message from Jason Kam, the chief medical officer at Where Oh Thiel Capital, yes, Peter Thiel's venture capitalist company, who expressed interest in what the company was doing. Kesman says he has not reached out to any investors, but they reached out to him. So, Peter Thiel, this was the company that Peter Thiel was interested in. And they have also, with this parabiosis experiment, they are looking at doing some studies on Alzheimer's as well. Despite such uncertainties with this parabiosis, the potential of young blood to treat diseases is being explored in a number of clinical trials. There's another test sponsored by the University of California, San Francisco, and it is examining the effects of transfusions in patients with a degenerative disorder called progressive supranuclear palsy. A study underway where, oh, in China, investigates whether younger plasma alleviates the neurological deficits induced by acute stroke. And in 2014, Stanford University neuroscientist Tony Weiss-Corey, and I wonder if this is W-Y-S-S Weiss, any relation to the Weiss Institute of Biologically Inspired Engineering, he demonstrated that old mice had increased neuron growth and improved memory after about 10 infusions of blood from young mice. What This is horrifying. So they've been doing this stuff, like I said, down deep, dark hallways for a long time that we didn't even know about. Ambrosia's just come to the forefront. But they've been doing this blood transfusion thing, sucking blood out of young creatures, putting them into old. At places even such as Stanford and the University of California. This prompted Weiss Corre to launch a small company called Elkahest, based in Menlo Park, California, to test transfusions of plasma from young people to treat Alzheimer's disease. Elkahest's clinical study is more conventional than Ambrosia's. It doesn't charge participants. Well, that's good. It expects to enroll only 18 volunteers, and it is initially looking at how well the elderly can tolerate small doses of plasma. The company's initial funding was provided by another billionaire, a billionaire out of Hong Kong, who felt that a plasma transfusion helped his grandfather combat Alzheimer's. And in 2015, the plasma company Grifols invested $37.5 million in the startup. Like several other researchers and bioethicists, Weiss Corre worries about the fact that Ambrosia's trial is funded by participants rather than investors. And people want to believe the young blood restores its youth, even though we don't have evidence that it works in humans and we don't understand how it works. And guys, I'm going to tell you something, not just the blood transfusions with parabiosis, but all this technology. We are flipping switches left and right. We are doing all these things, trying to find ways to gain control over the processes of life. And we don't know what we're doing. We like to talk a good game. We need the investors to come put their money in, and we need you to step up. But we are the 1.0s. We are the initial guinea pigs. And if you drop dead or go into a coma, hey, it was a clinical trial. You put that big X on that line of that 135-page document that you didn't read to give your consent. And, all right, guys, if you can even believe it, I didn't even make it through one story. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Lots of rich.